My name is Byung. Welcome to Saturday EMP. I'm just going to get started. Sorry, we had a little bit of a delay this morning. Why don't we just start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for just this beautiful day where your mercy has been renewed for us this morning, God. And Father, Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and my sisters who came out to pray today, God. And Father, I just humble myself before them and before you and your authority. And I just pray, God, that you speak to and through me, Lord. And I pray that you protect my mind from distractions, my tongue from error, and also my heart from pride, God, as I just convey what you've imparted onto my heart. Father, Lord, I just pray, God, that there will be no gap between your intended will to encourage and my words today. And we just thank you for thy word, for it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. Today, I want to speak quickly about faith. So let's go on to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. This is a very well-known passage for all of us, and I'm going to try taking my own take on it. So Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get onto the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." So Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took a hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got onto the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were on the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Amen. Today, I just, like I said, I want to speak about faith, and I know I did another sharing about faith before, but the reason why I wanted to speak about faith today is because, a couple of things. One, I feel like, especially after the fast, if for those of us who didn't get a particular breakthrough or a word, I think our faith is the first thing that might get attacked after the fast. So just in preparation of that, I want to speak on it. Another thing is, you know, I work in finance, and I have to read a lot of news these days, and trust me, reading news just isn't very fun. And I kind of feel like we are living in an age of boldened evil, if you so will. And I feel like what God needs the most right now are Christians who live our faith out loud. And the scriptures are filled with examples of that, right? Today, I want to suggest to you that we cannot have a relationship with God without faith. Ephesians reminds us that we are saved by grace through faith. So salvation is a gift, but we receive it through faith. And essentially, I also want to suggest that the quality of your life, so the level, but also the limit, is going to be determined by your faith in Jesus. I feel like God is not going to give us more than our capacity of faith in him. Hebrews 11 says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things unseen, and that it is basically impossible to please God without faith. Faith is not believing that there is a God, okay? Faith is not going on a 21-day fast, and faith is not coming out to CMP, although, you know, you probably may have more faith than others. But faith is not just the power of positive thoughts, and it's not just hoping that things will go well. faith, in James, he says that faith without works is dead. And I believe that it's only belief if it lives in your heart, but it becomes faith when it moves in your legs and it controls your tongue and it works in your hands. And that's where faith comes in. And there are, scripture is filled with examples of men and women who live by faith. And the best example, or my favorite example, is the one that we read today. Let me just give you the context so you understand the content. Here, Jesus just fed 5,000 people with some loaves of fish and some bread. Sorry, loaves of bread and some fish. What is a loaf of fish? Okay. I'm tired, man. After that, Jesus becomes really tired. Okay, so he becomes tired and he sends out the multitudes away. He says, everybody go away. And he says to the disciples, you guys go away too. And he says, you guys get on a boat, go to the other side of the sea, and I'll see you when I basically see you. And so Jesus goes up to the mountain alone to pray, and scripture tells us in the middle of the night, he looks down, and the winds are contrary, and the disciples are stuck. Let me remind you that disciples are, you know, at least four of them are fishermen, and, you know, they're probably well acquainted with the sea. And yet, they're stuck, because they find themselves in the middle of a storm. And I also just want to say three things about Jesus before we kind of get into the text. And these are very things that we need to really understand about what happens to Jesus in this passage. So the first thing that he does is Jesus cares. And I want everyone to be assured that the Lord cares deeply about us. He cares about every sea that you're in. He cares about every storm that's coming against you. He cares for every wind that's coming against you. He cares about your family. He cares about your desires. He cares about your marriage. He cares about your church and your family. The Lord cares so deeply about you. And I think that sometimes we lose sight of that. So I just want to assure us that the Lord cares very deeply about everything about you. And despite as unholy and unrighteous as you and I have been, the Lord still cares. And I believe that that's another miracle that happens in this passage. The second thing, so he cares. He cares so much that he comes. And as unholy and unrighteous as you and I have been, the Lord comes. And that's how much he cares about you. A lot of us, we think that the Lord just only cares about us from a far distance. But actually, the Lord cares enough that he comes right onto our doorstep. He comes right into the storm with us. He cares enough so much that he puts his time with God on hold. He stops his prayers to come down to his disciples. I believe that that's another miracle. He just shows up, right? Some of us are here today. I'm here today because he showed up last night, right? So praise God for that. And the third thing that I want to talk about is that Jesus calls. You see what I did there? Three C's? Yeah. Took me all night to come up with that. Okay? Jesus cares. He comes and he calls. He comes and says, Peter, come. The Lord calls us to him. And he says to each and every single one of us that you have a calling to draw close to me, that you have a calling to be holy, you have a calling to be righteous. And so many of us, when we think that, oh, that there's a calling on our lives, it means for us to drop everything, become a missionary, or come be a pastor, or go into ministry. But no, recognizing that there's a calling just recognizes that God demands something of us, that God has an assignment for us in this world, and to be called doesn't mean to go preach, but to be called means that the Lord expects us to draw close to him, and that there's something in us that the Lord expects of us. And you know, we say this at SP all the time. God has a very unique way of calling the unrighteous. And I just and PSAM always says is because that's all he has, right? He only has unrighteous folk. So notice how notice how Jesus calls Peter, right? So he comes down from the mountain and he walks on the water, but he doesn't get in the boat. Okay? He stands outside the boat and says, Peter, I'm calling you. And I'm calling you, but in order to receive my call, there's going to be a time and a moment where you have to take a step of faith and you have to get out of the boat. He's saying that my call is a call to you to leave where you are and draw close to me. And I will come to you. But like I said, at some moment, you have to learn how to leave where you are and walk towards me. Which means that there are things that we need to leave behind when we take a step of faith, right? We need to leave behind some behaviors. We need to leave behind some attitudes. There are some habits we need to leave behind. There are some people we need to leave behind, right? There are some memories we need to leave behind. In 2017, whatever happened to you in 2017, you need to leave that behind. And because the Lord's call demands that we walk from where we are in order to draw close to Him. And here's the power of God. The power of God is this, is that He says, Peter, you could do it. Peter, you can leave the boat, and you can draw close to me. And courageous faith says that, or courageous faith, I should say, believes that with the power of God, that you and I, we can change. And if you read the scripture, it says, well, that's what Peter asks for, okay? Like, every time I read this passage, it was always, Lord, let me walk on water. But that's not his first prayer. If you read the order, it's, Lord, let me come to you. Let me come to you on the water. And walking on water is just what happens when you desire to draw close to God. Okay? So the things that we pray for, right? The things that we pray for, the spiritual gifts, the tongues, the power of healing, all these things are great things. But Peter is saying, I'm not praying for the miracle, but I'm praying for me to draw close to you. And Lord, when I draw close to you, I know walking on water and healing people and having the gift of tongues and prophecy, all that just comes with it. But my prayer is that I come to you, that I take a step of faith and I come to you. So you have to kind of picture that, right? So Peter is now at the edge of the boat, right? So he knows that God is out there somewhere. And he's just basically ready to get out of the boat. And there are three things I want to talk about today that Peter has to battle when he's about to make a step of faith. Right? And the first thing that he needs to battle is, so he's out on the edge, and the first thing that he needs to battle is he realizes that no one in the history of Israel has ever walked on water. Okay? He recognizes that whatever he's about to do right now, no one has ever done it before. And there comes a moment when the call of Christ on our lives requires a move of faith that is unprecedented, that is inexperienced, and that we just never have seen anyone do, we've never seen anyone accomplish, and we've never seen anyone achieve. But the faith kicks in. So real faith, courageous faith, real faith says, says, if I don't know anyone who's done it, but God is calling me to it, then I can achieve what my pastor hasn't. I can achieve what my house church leaders haven't. And I can achieve what my parents haven't. I can achieve what my boss and my Christian friends have never done. Because when God calls, we say this all the time, it's the word rhema, and P. Sam says this all the time. He says that when you're called, you're not only given the word, but you're also given the ability to complete that task. So when we are receiving the call, and when we're making that step of faith, don't be limited by someone else's past and let that determine your future. So that's my first point today. Is stop allowing yourself to be limited by what you have never seen other people do, and there comes a moment when God calls us to do something that no one's ever done. So Jesus speaks to Peter, right? And Jesus speaks to Peter, and this is really important, right? So he says, Peter, come. Okay, it's going to be a pop quiz in a second, okay? Who does Jesus talk to? He talks to Peter, right? Okay, now that's important because a few chapters before this, in Matthew 8 or Mark 4, by the way, James Cha, another brother who does CMP, he did a great CMP sharing on Matthew 8. You guys should go listen to it. In Matthew 8, there's another episode of the disciples being in a similar situation. You guys all know this, right? So the disciples are on a boat, they're in the sea, and they're stuck again because they're in the middle of a storm, okay? And sometimes you wonder, oh, are these guys actually good sailors, right? But whatever. That happens. But this time, Jesus is downstairs, and he's sleeping, right? And if you guys remember that story, he wakes up, and he doesn't speak to the disciples. What does he do? He speaks to the storm, and the storm stops. See, Jesus has the ability to speak to a storm, and the storm stops. But this time, he chose to speak to Peter. So if I'm on the boat, okay? If I'm on the boat, and I saw Jesus speak to a storm, and I'm in another storm, then my question is, why didn't Jesus speak to the storm? Because when he speaks to the storm stops. But when he speaks to me, I walk on water. Okay? When he's speaking to the waves quiet down. But when he speaks to Peter, Peter has the ability to overcome the storm. And I think that that's really important because when he speaks to the winds quiet down. But when he speaks to Peter and when he speaks to you, he gives you the ability to overcome the storm. So in every storm, God is speaking to two things. He's either speaking to the storm or he's speaking to you. And if you find yourself in a storm and you're praying for the storm to end and it's not ending, then guess what? He's not speaking to the storm. He's speaking to you. And when he speaks to you, then you earn the ability to walk through the storm. So if you are in a storm, you know what? It must mean, and the storm is not stopping anywhere. You know what? It just means that the Lord is ready to meet your needs. That he's ready to meet you and equip you so that you could overcome. So, you know what? If you have to go through another round, yeah, it means that, yeah, God thinks that you could do it. It just blew my face off when I read that, right? Because I was like, Jesus, disciples in the storm, Google. And then there's another story. So I read that story and I realized that, yeah, he's speaking to a storm on one side, but he's speaking to his disciples on another. And here's where faith comes in, okay? Faith comes in because faith recognizes that when he's speaking to me, that I could overcome. So the first one was faith comes in because I recognize that I could do things that I've never experienced. And the second thing is that faith says that when the Lord speaks to me, then I can walk through the storms. And I want you guys to see the faith here because Peter isn't completely certain whether it's Jesus. And I know that because he chose the word if. Remember in the scripture it says, Jesus comes up and says, hey guys, it's me, it is I. Do not be afraid. Right? He doesn't say, it's Jesus, right? So Peter says, Lord, if it's you. He doesn't say since, because since will indicate that he knows that it's Jesus. Okay? He says, if it's you, Lord, then tell me to come and I'll come. Right? So there's a little bit of uncertainty, but here's where his faith comes in. His faith says, yeah, you know what? Let me put it this way. It's a very real place to be, right? It's a very real place to be if you're in the middle of a storm and you can't discern whether it's Jesus or not. Okay, that's a very real place to be, right? And I've been there, and I'm sure that other brothers and sisters in the church has been there too. That when we find ourselves in a storm, and there's just too many things going on, there are too many winds howling, too many waves crashing, then, yeah, there comes a time when we say, Lord, where are you? Where are you in this, right? And, like, how can all this be going on and you are still there? So Peter, this is what Peter does. He's not certain that it's Jesus, okay? He's not certain that it's Jesus, but he still steps out because my faith says that you got to be out there somewhere. Here's faith. Faith sees a storm and believes that God has to be in there somewhere. Somewhere in this mess, God is working something out. Somewhere in this confusion, God is working all things for my good. Somewhere in this conflict, God is making me stronger. And faith says, even if God did not create it, he must be in it. And, you know, okay, so I realized, actually a couple weeks ago, I asked my ministry leaders to go through my sharings and give me some positive feedback. And they're like, you know what, a lot of your anecdotes don't really line up. But here's a terrible anecdote, okay? And I know it's not going to probably illustrate things very well, but I'm going to say it anyway. So when I was growing up, my mother bought cereal because she looked at me and she was like, you're too small and too frail, okay? So you need to drink more milk and eat more healthy. So you need more cereal. And, you know, in North America, cereal is just packed with sugar. It's like 90% sugar, 10% something else, okay? There's like zero nutrients in it. And there was this cereal that was supposed to be organic and really good for you. And in order to get kids to enjoy the cereal, they will put a toy inside the box, okay? So the way it was supposed to work is, oh, you know, you get a bowl and you pour out some cereal, right? And your sister gets a bowl and she pours out some cereal. And eventually, the toy will come out and someone's bowl will be blessed, okay? So that's how it worked, okay? Or that's how it's supposed to work. When cereal arrived in our house, okay, the first thing I'll do is I'll open up the box, I'll shove my hand in there, right? And I'll start looking for things or looking for that toy that I knew was supposed to be in that box. Does that make sense? Right? And I'm not pulling out my hand until I find what I know is supposed to be in there. Okay? I never touched the cereal. I just played with the toys. Okay? That's why I'm still small and that's why I'm still frail. But courageous faith, real faith says, Lord, in this mess, I know that you got to be out there somewhere, right? So courageous faith reaches out and says, Lord, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hold on until I find you because I need to seek understanding and I know that you got to be out there, right? At the end of last year, I went through some ups and downs. And we all know people who go through ups and downs in your faith, and it's okay. But there are some people, and we know other people who've done this, the moment that God does not make sense, they leave church, right? And then there are other people like me who does a calculation and says, Lord, you brought 30 years of my life to this point, and I'm not ready to accept the fact that I wasted 30 years and find out that you're not real, right? So I had to press on. I had to press on because I'm just like, there's no way that God is not in this, right? That somewhere in this mess, somewhere in this confusion, God has to be out there because I did not spend... Okay, that was more sarcasm than faith, right? But in reality, that's what happened. I had to press on. I had to press on, and eventually, that is where the Lord will find us. I believe that God never wastes a storm. I just want to encourage our body saying, hey, you know what? Faith asks us to take a step of faith when we realize that no one has ever done anything like this before. Faith asks us to take a step when and recognize that God is speaking to us to overcome in certain storms. And faith also asks and demands of us to find God, because there is certainty that God is out there somewhere. So I'm just going to ask Ernie to come back. And let me just give you one last point. It's not in my notes, but you guys know how the story ends, right? So the story ends with Peter sinking, and the Lord says, "Why did you doubt?" Right? And you have to, you know, we've all heard the sermon, because in some scriptures, it says, in some versions, it says that Peter started to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus. You've heard that sermon, right? Don't take your eye off Jesus, you might sink, right? But I don't think that that's right, because the Lord picks him up and he doesn't ask him, "Why did you look away?" He picks him up and says, "Why did you doubt?" And so you have to ask yourself, what did Peter doubt? What did he doubt? And I could suggest to you that he did not doubt whether he could walk on water. Because he walked far away enough from the boat that when he actually was sinking, he was close enough to Jesus that Jesus just had to pick him up. So if he looked back, then walking on water is something that he knows that he can do. So what did Peter doubt? I think Peter doubted that although he came this far, he was still unsure it was Jesus. And I think that we take tremendous courage, encouragement there. That, you know why? Because we all stumble. And at certain points, we come to a storm where we say, "Lord, where are you? And is that you?" And if you have a sincerity, genuine desire to draw close to God, you know what one of the best things I did not recognize in the scripture today was until last night? It says that Peter began to sink. Peter begins to sink. I don't know if you've ever thrown anything into the water, but nothing ever begins to sink. If I throw this, right, into the water, it just sinks. It doesn't begin to sink. But when our desire to draw close to God is real, then, and we stumble on the way, we doubt a little bit on the way, it's okay. Don't doubt Jesus. Just start doubting your doubts. And if you start sinking, all you gotta do is just say, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me." And God will just come pick you up. I think that God is asking us three questions today. The first one is, what is the Lord calling you to do? What is it that you've never seen, done, or achieved that he's calling you to do and saying, "Byung, you could do it. You could get out of the boat. You can leave those relationships. You can leave those attitudes and behaviors." The other one is, am I in the middle of a storm and I'm looking for God? Right? And you know what? If he's not speaking to the storm, like I said, he has the ability to speak to a storm and it stops. But if he's speaking to you, then you should ask God, "God, how do you want me to overcome? How do you want me to conquer this?" And the third point is, sometimes we have to look back and see how far we've walked away from the boat and close to Jesus. So if we could start kind of reflecting on that, and we'll go into a time of worship, and we'll go into our personal prayer time. But like I said in the beginning, this is a time when God demands Christians to live our faith out loud. This is not a time for anonymous Christianity. And I'm learning, you know, especially after the fast. You know, they're like, "Hey, Byung, are you doing your crazy detox again, right, at work, right?" And I'm like, "Well, it's not really a detox, but sure." And then they start asking questions. And until then, they're like, "Oh, we just thought that you were just doing a diet every year, right?" And I realized, man, I didn't even explain to them why I'm doing this, you know? It's not a time for anonymous Christianity. It's a time for us to step up, all right? So let's spend some time in worship, and then I'll close up in prayer.
in your loving arms, I find that I'm safe and warm. In your loving arms, you see me and you know me. You love me through and through. You see me and you know me, and you love me through and through. I find that in your loving arms, I find that I'm safe and warm. In your loving arms, you see me and you know me, and you love me through.
Let's go on to our community prayer today. Let's lift up our friends who are battling cancer. You know what? If they're in the midst of the storm, let's pray that they recognize that Jesus is in the storm with them. So let's choose one name today, like we do every day, and let's just go after it. Let's also lift up our community members who are battling other illnesses and, but also need a word of salvation. Let's pray for a faith to rise up in our community so that they would be able to speak about the gospel and the healing word of Jesus Christ. Let's also pray for our members who are battling other infirmities. It's maybe a long list, and if there's anyone in there that you know, then choose the name and we'll just go after it, yeah? Let's lift up our community members who are looking for work. Let's just lift them up and let's pray for divine encounters, divine meetings, and just favor from others onto them. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea. As you guys know, next week the Winter Olympics are starting, and you know there are and they still say at the eve of the Olympics that they're gonna do a big military parade, which usually brings instability to the region. So let's lift that up. Let's also pray for other missional opportunities and partnerships around Asia. Let's also pray for the persecuted churches and especially the churches over in the Middle East. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our SP weekend gatherings. LAM, Love After Marriage, they're having their retreat today here in the sanctuary. So let's just really kind of pray for an atmosphere. And let's pray that our married couples in this church have faith that their marriage is going to be healed, it's going to be enhanced, it's going to be enriched. Okay. Let's also pray for SLW, which is happening later in the afternoon. Pray for prison outreach, drug rehab, helping without hurting, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SPIN services and activities, and all other meetings. I know that there is a mission, the mission committee's meeting a few missionaries this week. Yesterday, our staff office, they just moved up to the sixth floor, right? So that's something that we've been praying about. So let's just pray for a smooth transition over everything, yeah? Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today. House to house should be up there as well. We just moved to Saturdays. If anyone's free this morning, please come check us out. Fortress, Mawan, Southside, Westside, and house to house are meeting today. And let's just pray that they have a great time, that we meet, that we encounter God and one another in our house churches. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, God. We thank you, Lord, that you give us access to a name that is great above every other name, God. Father, Lord, I just pray for my brothers and my sisters in this house, God. I pray, Lord, that you embolden and enlarge our faith, God. And that, Father, Lord, that when you give us a call, that we're able to respond and say that we'll walk on water. Father, Lord, we thank you that you are God, that when you see your people move in faith, that you respond by moving in power, God. So, Father, Lord, we just lift up this time. We thank you for your word today, Lord. And I just pray that for all things that will happen this weekend, Lord, that you will move with power. We lift up this weekend to you, God, and we just love you in this house. In your precious name we pray. Amen.